And yes, we are live. We are live with another episode of Fire Builders Live. I've got a very special guest today, Neil Falora. Neil, welcome to Fire Builders Live.
I'm so pumped to be here, Josh. Thanks. I appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, man. I know you're busy. I know you got a bunch of five-year-olds in the house and the time is scarce. So I really appreciate the time coming on the show. Sure. If you guys are, you know, before I introduce Neil, and before we get into all of the cool stuff that we're going to talk about today, if you're not familiar with how Fire Builders Live works, we bring on experts. We take really big, complex topics. We break them down into small steps, things that you can do every single day. And we stream live around noon just about every day, Monday through Saturday, every single week. So we bring on another different guest. And today is a cool one because we are going to be talking to Neil about essentially emotions, how to heal your body by thinking like a kid again. Now, Neil is the brain warrior. He is the guy that people go to when they, you know, have mental blocks, mental issues that come up in their life, obstacles that they need to get over. Maybe they don't even see that they're there. And he helps them not only identify them, but move past them. He's been doing this for a number of years. You've helped so many people. You've got the brain warrior method. And so honestly, Neil, this is awesome to have you on. Thanks for showing up again. And let's get into it. What do you say?
Let's do it, man.
All right. So first of all, I guess just let everybody know, you know, where you are in the world and then how you just briefly started with you know, becoming essentially like the brain guy.
Absolutely. So I'm coming to you from the metropolis of Indianapolis, Indiana. The 500 Motor Speedway is our most notable hallmark. And how I've come to be the brain warrior is I just entered a phase in my life where I found that all the stress and push that I put myself through was making me chronically ill. And so I was 3 to 5 hours a day in bed, and you name a symptom, I had it. And I just wasn't ready to live that kind of life. And I figured out there was a whole community of people that were actually using their mind and the way the mind works to get themselves out of chronic illness. And it's had so many other great effects besides that.
You mean by using their mind, like they were just changing the way that they were thinking, like their thought patterns, or were they actually, you know, actively doing something every day? How did they use their mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So they were actually using their mind in both thinking and feeling. And that's really the operative word here. And most adults, unfortunately, we got a far high degree of emotional constipation because we've kind of forgotten how to be kids and enjoy things, dream and so forth. But these people were actually using an active process through visualizations, through meditations, through holding emotions that feel good, and doing it very actively in their day, and using the brain's own chemistry to actually start making changes in the brain, what makes changes in the body.
And so you're talking about, because I, you know, you hear things like your, you know, your organs, they store emotions. There are certain emotions that get that are trapped within the body. That meditation, for instance, that you just you achieve this state where you can release a lot of that stress. Because I know stress is a huge factor in all of this. You know, it's just in physiological changes like inflammation and things like that. So you've gone through this, like it hasn't always been easy for you. And you've actually, it's not like you're just saying this stuff. You've actually practiced what you've preached for the last 10 years.
Yes. I've lost 65 pounds, been to how many doctors and supply cabinet full of supplements. I'm like a mini Whole Foods over here, Josh. I've lived and I've breathed this methodology. I still do it to this day because that's such beneficial effects. And I talk to entrepreneurs and visionaries and leaders about having better relationships with themselves and other people so that, because it's the limiting beliefs, it's the thought processes, they're going to make or break their businesses at the end of the day as well.
And do they come to you with like, you know, just the same typical stuff? You know, is it something that you can quantify, or is it just varying degrees of, hey, you know, I'm not feeling well. And then you can identify like similar patterns that you have seen in other entrepreneurs and high performing individuals in the past.
It's like everything. We want to make all our differences and our problems very, very unique, pretty much they all fall into the same buckets. And it's about, you know, limiting beliefs that we see in terms of worthiness, in terms of giving yourself permission, in terms of allowing yourself to ascend to that next level of greatness. But the primary issue is that we have an identity that we hold on to, and we have to kind of let that identity die and go through a dip to come back out through the other side, right? That's a really uncomfortable process for most people. So that's where, you know, yeah, so they're all in similar buckets, and usually it's just because they have a particular issue that seems to be just holding them back.
Well, when you say identity, right, when does that form for most people?
So really we're forming our own identity. I think we often see the world coming in at us, as opposed to we're projecting out the world as well. So our personal reality becomes our personality over time. Certainly, I think a lot of that happens in childhood, but I think it's a self-immersive process throughout your whole life, is that you talked about the, such a good point about the organ storing emotions, and we can show, like, Harvard and Yale psychiatrists, psychologists have noticed organ donors receiving the characteristics of the transplant that they received their donor from. So that is like an amazing thing. So we know that these things are stored over time. And I wouldn't say there's one particular moment, but I think the most important thing is to know is that you're creating your own experience, and you can create yourself. You can create a new experience if you want it. It just takes time.
Well, that's why I love, and I actually put one of your favorite quotes in the top of the line of the description. You'll see it like when you see this on Facebook. But the thing that you said, have written about, you know, we don't see the way that things are, right? We see things the way that, like, we are,
right?
You know? So it's all through a filter of our own personal experiences, past traumas, emotions, things like that. And so if I want to, again, like, start, you know, spring cleaning my mind, sort of getting back to the basics, cutting through a lot of the bullshit, essentially, that I've piled up layer after layer, and sort of get down to like more of an essence, so to speak. What would you suggest somebody that's just starting out thinking about this stuff? What would you suggest that I focus on?
So I really would like people to focus on how they're thinking and feeling every day, and make that just a common everyday practice. So the body is the subconscious mind, but we don't really give very much stake to how we're thinking and feeling, because we think we're all logic, when really the currency of our brain and our body is emotion. So asking yourself, and even setting your watch, but asking yourself this simple question: what am I thinking? What am I feeling? And is it health and life affirming? It's as simple as that, just to bring an awareness to yourself.
So for instance, does it get easier to articulate what those feelings are? Because, I mean, if I think about putting myself through that right now, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, I guess I would begin on the surface level, but is it something that you just sort of get better at over time?
Absolutely. It's just as sort of when you change a habit. So you have one habit, right? And that habit is thinking a certain way. And so if you're trying to change a habit, like you're trying to, you know, brush your teeth more often or whatever else, be more conscious of your dental health. And you're like, you're going through it and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I haven't done a good enough job today, or I haven't brushed my teeth, you know, as many times as I wanted to today. It's the same thing as you're just catching a little glimpses of where you maybe are not or should be. And then as you catch glimpses of that, you become more aware. So it's like we've tuned something out in our brain. We don't really know that it's there. And then you'll be like, you know, why am I throughout the day? You're like, why do I feel tense? Why am I getting more irritable? And you'll notice your irritation. You'll notice your tension. You'll notice something in your stomach. It usually comes into your body. And so as you build awareness to that, you become more aware, your brain will have more of a capacity to focus on that and catch it earlier and earlier. It's like changing any other habit. You just got to notice, hey, I don't need to go downstairs. Why am I unconsciously putting this in my mouth right now? I'm just eating to eat. Wait, I need to put it down and step away and think about, why am I doing this? It's exactly the same thing.
Well, do you think that, because we hear a lot about kids being more in tune with their emotions than adults. Like as adults, we grow older. We kind of like, I mean, repress, I guess, those feelings, but tend to forget about it or tend to think that it's natural, right? To just feel these emotions, just store them away and don't deal with them because you've got other stuff to focus on kind of thing. Right. But kids don't do that, right? So
I can tell you that for sure with my 5-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Suppress anything.
Do you think so, but they're able to release a lot of those emotions and not necessarily store them, or at least, you know, I know that I've read a couple of your posts where you're teaching your 5-year-olds how to do that, how to release and move through those emotions. So what do you think it is about sort of thinking in a more childlike state that will help people, even no matter what their age is, feel better?
Sure. And I would say some of the primary things are like wonderment, awe, imagination, dreaming, and then emotions. Those things that, to some extent, to be honest, we kind of vilified being adults. It's like, I don't know, I want to do that. I need to be an adult, right? Let's straighten up our ties and act in a certain way. But the real emphasis, if you read anybody's autobiography who's really done something amazing, Disney, Jobs, Elon Musk, you name it, they dreamed, they imagined, they saw the whole thing before it happened, right? And that takes emotion and wonderment and awe. It takes those things that are not actually all up here, but down in the heart space that we're imagining. So I think adults just get more constipated about it because our agreement of the mythology of adulthood is that we really need to be logical, and those things are actually immature. And the thing that I love to talk to people about is the fact is that we started out practicing make-believe or as children, and we should transition into belief makers, right? That's the leap. Our play should set us up for adulthood. Think about every other animal. Their play sets them up for adulthood, but we don't make the jump. We don't make the leap from make-believe into belief makers.
Well, go a little bit deeper into the whole belief maker thing. Like, what do you mean? You mean, so if I can imagine it, essentially, then I go and take the steps to make it a reality.
Right. And that's almost the backward natures is that we get so reliant on trying to curate all the cursed hows. I need to meet the person and do this thing. And all we're very, very focused on logistics. When if you regularly spend time each day thinking about imagining your end goal, how it would feel, how it would taste, who you would be emotionally, if you start living as that person in advance of the change, then you're going to get there a lot quicker. Athletes have done this for years. They imagine themselves winning, hitting the baskets. We can show that that's really, really important. The neurochemical memory of doing things in advance of a change is super important because we're saying we want to dream, but our bodies emotionally are saying, no, we don't. No, I can't. I don't believe it. I'm not worth it. And if you have a headspace of yes, but a body space of no, getting there is so turbulent. You're white knuckling the whole way down.
And so for those of you that are just joining us too, so the one thing basically that Neil is suggesting is you need to be aware of how you feel, right? Because I agree with you. You can't really improve anything until you actually know what you're improving, you know, or why, or what it is that you're trying to get rid of, or that you're trying to cultivate more of. So if that's joy or like wonderment, like you were saying, or all of these childlike emotions, okay. So this actually is a perfect segue into the next question, because if that's the case, what's worked for you as far as the easiest way to start becoming more aware? Is it a situation, like you said, where you set a watch or you set a timer on your phone? Is it important to record these? Do you write them down in a journal? You know, what's the best way that you've seen to incorporate this stuff?
So, yes, the question I would say that's, I think, easiest in setting your watch 3 or 4 times a day is, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? And is it health or life affirming? And then the second part of it is, yes, you'll start to become more aware, just like we unconsciously put food in our mouth and we don't realize that we're not really hungry. You'll start to become aware of that. And then the other part of it is writing them down. But I wouldn't spend as much time. So you want to initially start writing down, okay, here are the things that are coming up for me routinely. And you'll notice a pattern. You'll notice, definitely notice a pattern. But the flip side of that is that what you want to start doing is then focusing on your successes during a day, because we have a bias for, from a biological standpoint, we have a bias for the negative. You know, 70% of our self-talk is negative all through the day. And so one of the simplest ways to start moving forward is to start curating or Sherpa, being the Sherpa of your thoughts and feelings, and start giving that bias to what is positive during the day. What positive things are you saying during the day? In 9/11, when they needed more Navy SEALs, only 1 in 7 made it through. And the ones who made it through, their primary success factor was continuous positive self-talk. That was it. They weren't stronger or more capable in some other way.
It was all here. It was all just them completely like reaffirming that they could do this over and over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And if we don't realize it, it's unconscious, but the Kool-Aid that we've all poured and we're drinking for ourselves is in the other fashion. It's the negative stuff, and we don't think about it, but it comes up hundreds, thousands of times a day. So the way around it is to just give yourself your own immersive positive experience.
Do you think it's easier? Well, not easier, but I guess more effective, right? Do you think that it's more effective to try and eliminate the negative thoughts or to try and overpopulate your brain with positive thoughts, knowing that the negative thoughts will just exist anyway, but you're just going to, you know, you're going to saturate them with positivity instead?
I love this question. It's what a brilliant question. I guess I owe you the $20 for this segue. So it's so much easier. People spend so much time, because think about it. If you're focused on the negative thoughts, your brain is going to look for more negative thoughts. There's a part of our brain that focuses on the primary focus of our thoughts and brings in more experience about that. If you've ever shot for a car in a parking lot and then drove away, you see that car everywhere afterwards, right? So that is really what the brain does, is it's going to, so focusing on the negative is going to bring more negative thoughts. If you focus on the positive, it's going to start wiring physically, like it from a neurochemical standpoint, new circuits in your brain that focus on positive, and those are going to go stronger. And you know, I love how intuitive you are about brain chemistry with no background, but it's going to literally drown out the negative thoughts over time. Those are just going to start to, you can think about them like filing them down. But if you go after them, it's no bueno.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right? Like it's a waste of time to try and feel bad about when you identify the negative thought that you have, right? If you feel bad about it, you're just reinforcing the cycle of negative thoughts, right? So it's way easier to just ignore them and say, nah, you know what? I know you're going to exist, but I'm just not going to pay attention to you. And I'm going to focus on the positive stuff instead. And by the way, like, as we're talking about this, I got to put these up. As we're talking about this, the people are agreeing with you with what you're saying.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And it's true. I mean, I feel, and this is Elizabeth as well, right? It really is. It's like something that, you know, I guess that's true. It's not like a learned skill where you can just do it, and once it happens, you never have to think about it again. Like, it's a constant process, I would imagine, where of course it gets easier to do, say, in the mornings or at night or whenever it's like prudent for you to do your meditation or focus on positivity. But It's not something that you can just ignore once you get it. Like, you just have to keep doing it over and over and over again. I don't know. Is that your experience too?
It's absolutely the experience. And one of the things that we just don't give ourselves credit for enough is how much we practiced being who we are. I mean, we don't really think about that today. It's just like, I'm just Josh or I'm just Neil. What's there to practice? But we practiced this over and over and over again. We come to who we are because we've decided that things show up for us in our world in certain ways. Some things come easy and some parts of are hard, and we have all those internal agreements. And every day when we wake up, we start to boot up all those things. Like, we have these phones, right? All of these apps running in the background, we can swipe them closed on our phone. But in our brain, all those things are running in the background, we have no clue. So it's just like practicing a new you, but it's so counterintuitive to say, I'm going to practice being me, because you think you just are, but you're just your set of agreements that you've accumulated over time. And can you accumulate a new set of agreements and make yourself have a different reality and different outcomes? Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so interesting that you say that. Cause like, as you're talking about this, and I'm thinking about even just this morning, when I woke up this morning, it's not like I said, all right, I'm going to be like more Josh today, you know, or I didn't even think about it. It becomes almost habitual where I just say, look, this is what I do. Like, this is what Josh does. Right. And then you just do it. And, I never really stopped to think about whether or not that's good or not. Or like you said, what did you say? It was like essentially beneficial for a human, or like beneficial for you, right? In a way. You know, I just don't stop to think about that. And I think what you're trying to say is that in order to make the change, the positive change that I want, that I need to start being a little bit more aware, self-aware, and focus more on how I'm feeling throughout the day, right? Those little decisions that I'm making.
Absolutely. And I would tell people to start simple and easy. And it's just bringing awareness, because all of the things that we learn as kids and as a society is that your personality is just your personality, and you are who you are, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and people don't change. And even though we might feel like we think differently, we don't really believe emotionally that that's any differently, right? So instead of getting yourself in a big twist about, I can't do all these changes, just set yourself stop gaps through the day to start becoming aware. And I promise, as you do that, you'll be like, wow, I really am thinking this. Why am I thinking so negatively? Why did I get off the phone and have so much FOMO for no reason? And now my whole day is in a twist because of it. And the awareness is like, it's like everything. It's like taking the red pill in the Matrix. All of a sudden you just start seeing things different. And then you'll start seeing it in other people as well. And because we're all connected and reflective, and you'll be like, okay, I get it. I get why I'm showing up this way, and I want something different.
Man, I love this. Cause it makes a lot of sense when you're talking about it like this. And to be honest, I've never tried it, and I'm going to try it now just to sort of become a little bit more aware of those thoughts and feelings. Just as a tester, just to see how much of it is negative and positive. So I think this is amazing. And so this was good. So what do you got going on now? What do you got going on in your life? And if people want to know more about what you do and the method, and where can they go and where can they find you?
Absolutely. So I said earlier, I'm primarily looking at heart-centric and intuitive visionaries and leaders who want to have a better relationship with themselves and the people they serve. And so that's sort of my big call in the universe. So I do one-on-one coaching. I also have I'm finishing enrollment this week. It's a mentor mind, but it's all about these topics, but we're doing it at the table with other amazing leaders. So I firmly believe that the easiest way to change is in relation to other people. Otherwise, the books, the seminars, the PDFs that we download, those would have all worked by now, right? Making those changes is easier. I did a lot of my own rewiring with buddies and with other people. So coaching, if you're interested in the Brain Warrior Mentor Mind, you can always reach out to me. Like I said, I'm finishing enrolling this week and want to get it started next week. And if you'd like to reach out, you can find me at just Neal, N-E-A-L, is spelled here, at thebrainwarrior.com. Shoot me an email. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as The Brain Warrior as well. You can always just DM me there.
Okay, that's great. And, you know, as you're talking about this, the your point about if it would have worked, it would have worked already, like all of the seminars and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's, sorry, there's a crazy plane. We're right in the pathway, right in the pathway of the airport. There's planes still coming into Key West. But do you think that, that consistency is also a problem, right? So it's very easy in the short term to start to think better and to be more positive and stuff. But how do you keep people consistent with it? Right.
such a great segue and question. So what I see in people and why we don't end up really making the permanent changes when we go to, let's say, a 3-day to Tony Robbins, nothing against Tony Robbins, I've attended as well. It's amazing. Why we don't continue the change or are consistent, because we are constantly blaming ourselves, adding to the negative baggage because you're taking it personally. And what I tell people, it's not you, it's your biology. And the simple answer is there's a thing in your brain that physically, like if Josh is a 72 degrees guy, it wants to keep you at that set point. And that means all your habits, all your feelings, how you do things. And when you get stretched out in a weekend and you're like, rah, 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 you're outside your comfort zone. But what, you know what your brain does when it feels that? It goes, no, it's like, I don't feel comfortable. That's what we call outside our comfort zone. And it's going to, it's neurochemically pulling you back to how it knows you, how your brain circuits are programmed. Unless you're active in constantly feeding that, we are all like rubber bands. We get stretched out with something somebody says, a weekend, a book, but we snap back, and we need constant self-practice. But the practice has to be with an awareness of how your biology is pulling you back in, and to institute some emotional neurochemical techniques to keep you elastic, if you will.
Emotional neurochemical techniques, as in like causing yourself to feel a more positive emotion, like remembering something more positive whenever you feel that negative, and trying to like replace the negative with a positive pattern.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I mean, it's exactly that. And this is no longer just like, you know, meditation, and cultures have known this for thousands of years, but there are people who are doing science on this that can show how the brain rewires, that we can show on MRI how the brain changes when you do these things. It could just be this simple for people listening. Let's not even make it more complicated than this. Anytime you have a moment where you feel good about something, just hold it like a note on a guitar or a saxophone or whatever else, and hold it for as long as you can. Don't just do the adult, I'll feel it and say it's funny and not even laugh, right?
Oops. Yep.
It's,
I know,
hilarious.
That.
Hold it, whether it's laughter or you finally got that email done or you got a new client or you're making the next level up in your business, whatever it is, and hold that for as long as possible. Let's not make this too complicated. That will start to actually change the bias in the way you see things and you feel things. You do that for 3 or 4 weeks solid, I promise you, you're going to start to see some change in how things are showing up in your life.
Dude, this was an amazing conversation. Neil, you are truly the brain warrior, my friend.
Appreciate it.
This was awesome. Well, for everybody that is listening now, go check out Neil's stuff. His email is in the description, neil@thebrainwarrior.com. And I, again, man, I thought this whole type of thing, I mean, again, for me, just being more engineer and more technically minded most of the time, you know, very, very logical, like left brain sort of stuff. This is a fascinating like peek into the world of more emotional side of things that I know, you know, I know those dictate my decisions in life, but very rarely do I pay attention to them, mainly because I feel like they might be a little bit out of my control sometimes, or I just, you know, can deal with them because I've got other problems to deal with, kind of thing. But this has been an incredibly interesting conversation, and man, I can't thank you enough for being here.
But brother, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Whether it's me or somebody else, just go out and do this. This will change your life. I'll leave you with this. If 95% of how you're going to react is already pre-programmed in the subconscious, you got it so much more opportunity, possibility in your life to do amazing things. And I love to see people make those huge shifts and just do something that crazy amazing. So
crazy amazing indeed. I love it too. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
To everybody watching, right? Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fire Builders Live. Again, we stream every day, Monday through Saturday. And this is Neil and I signing off for another episode. Adios, guys. See you later.